Hello, and welcome to the Mama Finds podcast, where I believe it's not all or nothing, this way or that. You do you and find your happy medium one day at a time. Today, I have a very near and dear guest. In full disclosure, Trish Ryan is my aunt. I lived with her in my 20s for 6 months when she was in the throes of where I am right now. She is the mother of three, oldest now 21, youngest 15. Let's just say she's been around the block. Recently, she has started a coaching company called Core Health and helping people achieve the life they crave through health and wellness. I have shared this with you first thing in the morning so you can listen on your morning run or on your commute, because after you do, you're going to want to burst into your day on a high, rip-roaring, ready to go. At least, that's how I felt after this interview. So tie up your shoes or hop in your car and let's get going. Trish, thank you for joining me.
Oh, absolutely. I'm so pleased that you asked me to be on your podcast.
I'm so excited to have you. I have a million questions, but I first want to start off with, how did you get into healthy living and making that a priority in your life and then wanting to share that with others?
I had always been interested in health and fitness pretty much my entire life. I was an active kid, and when I was in college, I was always running and exercising. So I always kind of wanted to do something in the health and fitness, but never really knew to what extent. My college degree is in marketing, and so I had a marketing career. But again, health and fitness was always in the back burner, and it wasn't until I had my own epiphany of my own health. Like I said, I was always exercising. Another thing that I was very well known for, and Carrie, you can even attest to that, is living in my house for a few months. I was the baking queen, loved to make cakes, cookies, sweets, anything with sugar and flour and butter in it.
We had that cookie exchange at Christmas. That was...
Oh, yes. I loved cookie exchanges. I think every holiday I would host like two or three of them because I just couldn't, there wasn't enough varieties or different varieties that I could make. And so I had to host multiple ones so that I could make all the ones that I wanted to make. You know, that was exactly me. And like I said, I balanced that all out with exercising. I was always had a goal of, like, you know, either running a race or signing up for a fitness class or trying something new. And I thought I had it all and I was balancing it all very well until probably I was in my 40s and I realized that I wasn't physically heavy, but I was mentally and emotionally heavy. And that, you know, that was kind of my roadblock. Someone would say to me, oh, let's go take the kids to the beach. And instead of going, oh my gosh, that'd be a great idea, I would think of all the chairs and the wet towels and the food and the things. And I was exhausted. And that's when I really took a step back and realized, you know, what needs to change in my life so that I'm really living the life that I want to live, because I don't want to be addicted to sugar, addicted to caffeine, and checking things off the list just to get things done. Like, oh, I can't wait till the kids go to bed so that I can just sit on the couch and eat some ice cream and just veg out. It really wasn't what I wanted out of life. And that's when I realized that taking care of myself and eating properly is what gives you the energy and the ambition and the desire to do what you really want to do. And once I figured that out and really started to feel better, I had all the energy. And that's when I realized that if I felt like this, there are millions of people that feel this exact same way. And so I looked into what I could do to get certified to help people. And then I went to a school called the Health Coach Institute. It was an online certification for both health coaching as well as life coaching. And from there, you know, it really took off. I, you know, can help people one-on-one and in group scenarios. And I do workshops and things to really help people live the life they crave.
I think I get enough sleep. Like, I definitely have to wake up in the middle of the night. Right now we are training my daughter to go to the bathroom in the middle of the night. So I'm waking up periodically. So I'm definitely tired from that. But my watch is telling me I'm getting 8 hours. And yet I still want to sleep all the time. I just feel constantly tired. And I know it's partially because I wear a lot of hats. I run a business. I have twins at home. I have a husband. I'm trying to balance work and life, but I also am sure it has something to do with my eating habits, which is basically energy bars and caffeine, not to mention the can't wait for kids to go down so I can bed down on the sofa and have my ice cream. Gee, I wonder where I got that from.
I don't know. It wasn't me.
So how do I break out of this? Because it's a habit, right? Like, I'm just in the throe of it now. And how do I make that shift?
Yeah. And that's exactly what it is. It's a shift. I mean, it's a habit that you have and that you want to really open up that door and be open to curiosity and not judgment, but open up those doors to curiosity and saying, what can I change? What do I think that I'm doing that's really not serving me well? And then how can I work to make those habit changes for my health and well-being that will be beneficial? The brain is putting so many things on autopilot. Like you said, you wear so many different hats. And so your brain is trying to process all this information. And so it's like, all right, 8 o'clock, kids go to bed, sit down, want the ice cream. And so your brain almost initiates those cravings for the ice cream. And so that's why you have them every night. So it is making that mind-body connection, saying, I probably don't need ice cream to make myself feel better. I might just need to sit and relax and read a book or do something else, but I probably don't need food to soothe myself after this long day. It's being aware and then making those small habit shifts that do take time. It doesn't happen overnight. It's that we just have ongoing on autopilot in the back of our head are not serving us very well.
I have a lot of challenges with food in general. I have a autoimmune problem, psoriasis. So I've already given up gluten, which is a headache because it's in everything. Psoriasis is an inflammation situation, right? So dairy, soy are also things that I'm sort of mindful of, sugar as well. So I feel like I've done a relatively good job of decreasing or completely eliminating, in the gluten case, some of these things. But now I find food to be a chore because not only do I have to figure out what can I make that I can eat without all of these things, but then also my family will eat. So I'm not making multiple meals. And I just find that energy bars and coffee are just easy. So I have two challenges, right? I have one is, how do I take care of me during the day when I don't have to worry about my family, where I can get some easy, good meals, keeping in mind I can't eat these things. And then at nighttime with dinner, trying to make dinner with all these things in mind and trying to make a meal for people, food's a chore for me. How do I get over that?
Right. I think the first thing to do is, let's look at food as not a chore. When you say chore, right, in a sense, it's sending all these negative vibes because a chore is something that you're told to do, that you have to do, that it's almost like you can't expect your car to go without putting gas in it or having, you know, or charging it up, whatever kind of car you might have. We see it almost completely differently. I need to do it. And when we look at the foods that we can eat, so many options that are available that don't have gluten or dairy or soy or sugar in them. But when we look at the things we can eat versus the things that we can't eat, increases all those possibilities. And, you know, through working with me and how I help my clients is that we do go through things step by step and help reframe a lot of negative thinking that may be going on right then, and then help solve all of those roadblocks and situations to help overcome them. Maybe it's, you know, having a meal plan that's already has filtered out all of the things that don't serve you well. And therefore you're looking at things and creating options that are easy, you know, take less than 30 minutes to cook, are delicious, and can feed the whole family so that you're not making multiple things.
Okay. So I have 2 3-year-olds at home.
Mm-hmm.
Keeping it real in terms of like the toddler palate.
Mm-hmm.
And they're totally two different children. They might as well belong to two different parents. And so in terms of what they'll eat, I feel like when I sit down, I'm like, all right, I need a real meal tonight that my husband and I need to like enjoy some adult food essentially. And then I know that my rule of thumb is I'm not going to make 4 meals. No, I'm not going to make 2 meals. I can make 1 meal. If you don't eat it or don't like it after you've tried it, you can at least try it. If you don't like it after you've tried it, then I will make you essentially bread. Like you can have some bread and butter and we can put, you know, peanut butter on it, or they like this British thing called Marmite that makes me cringe.
Yeah.
But
that's a whole other podcast.
It's a whole other podcast. But at the end of the day, that's sort of my rule of thumb. So I feel like the nice thing about that is I get them to try new foods. I'm not making multiple meals. I'm also not doing it every night. So they're not bailing on me every night. So then me giving them bread and Marmite every night. This is probably once or twice a month even that I'm doing it, where I'm like, I just need something that I want for once and you're all going to live with it. So basically there are there's this happy medium, I feel like you're telling me, where I could put together a weekly plan of things mm-hmm. that don't have all these things in it that everybody could essentially, but the thing in there that I heard was plan.
Exactly.
There are services out there. I've tried a few. I feel like they've been pretty hit or miss, but I could certainly sit down on a Sunday night with my husband and say, this is what our week looks like in terms of dinners. Yeah.
But it is the planning part that's key, because we are more apt to stay on track when our brain already knows what's going to happen. A lot of times, and we do that with our children too, when we're raising them, we're kind of, you know, going to say, okay, we're going to have breakfast, then we're going to put our shoes on, then we're going to brush our teeth, and then we're going to do this. And then we're preempting them, we're telling them what's going to happen in advance so that things don't go awry and they don't really fly off the handle, because they know what's kind of coming with them. And we have to do that to ourselves as well. So if we kind of know, and you sit down and you do some meal planning and, you know, hit the Instacart button and get all the food delivered to the house to make it easier, then when we have a plan, it's so much easier to be executed, because it's right there.
And then if you have all the food, that then you have to do it because you don't want to throw all that food away. So then exactly. That sort of holds you accountable. Exactly.
It does hold you accountable, right? You know, that's the thing. It's almost having the system, the support, and the accountability there to make that action plan and to follow through with it.
So if I was to sort of start approaching this, what's the first step? Just sitting down one day and doing it? Is it trying it out for 1 or 3 days a week? Or do I just go for it all in?
You know, I always want to focus on yourself first, because when you are at your best, then you can give the best to others. You're eating energy bars and coffee all day long. I so much want you to be fueled properly. Mm-hmm. And I know that would be a simple small step to start going forward, because we always want to start small. You know, we don't want to say, okay, we're going from no meal planning to all of a sudden we're planning, you know, 3 meals a day, 7 days a week. You know, that's like a big chunk to kind of to sit down and do. But let's just start with breakfast and start maybe, you know, meal planning the breakfast and having something for you to grab and go on a daily basis to fuel yourself.
And what would some of those things look like, given my, this is my challenge, right? Like I used to love yogurt and granola.
Right.
Right. And like I recently have been trying to not have any dairy now, because I know right. that's a trigger.
But you could do overnight oats made with almond milk. You could do eggs. You could make, you know, little casserole type things in muffin cups. That's something that can be grab and go. That would be, you know, protein, veggies, all non-dairy options.
Like the little egg bites.
The little egg bites. And then the kids see how much fun you're having eating the egg bites, and they might want to try them too. So then all of a sudden you get yourself eating healthy foods even right off the bat in the morning, and then they might be doing it as well. And it's perfect for them to hand as a snack.
Do you do any planning? I feel like you used to when I lived with you, where you sort of do some of the cooking over the weekend.
Exactly. Yep. Yeah. So we definitely on the weekends, my husband and I, we kind of sit down and exactly. I mean, you said you have 2 3-year-olds. I at home, I have 2 kids in college and I have a 15-year-old. And so all the problems that you're saying about a 3-year-old are pretty much somewhat similar to the 15-year-old. And the quantity of food needs to be increased as well, being that he's 15 and 6'1 and still growing.
And playing soccer. Like,
exactly.
His job.
But that's what we do. And, you know, exactly what you said. It's like, what do we want to eat? And then what can we, this growing child that needs the good proteins, and, you know, how to get a kid exactly to not eat candy bars and stuff all day long. But we knowing that, you know, with the amount of energy that he needs to go through school all day and do his athletics, you know, he needs the good fuel. So what can we make for him that has the good proteins in it that he likes, that he'll eat, you know, that will work. So it's this, it's not that the issue never goes away. It's just, we have to look at it not as a problem, but just as something that we have to work through. Like I said, my husband and I sit down and we kind of work out what we're kind of in the mood for, maybe what we haven't had for a little while, and see, okay, this is what we can make and this is what we can add on to eat, you know, for our son. So it's exactly like you said, like if he doesn't eat that, then they get to eat the bread and the butter. But ours is if they eat what we give them, and then what else do we have to give him to supplement? Because, you know, he eats more than we do.
I find that with toddlers, actually, that sometimes I don't get enough to eat because I didn't plan for how much they were going to eat. And I basically have had to give up
exactly
my portion to make them happy. Okay. So step one is figure out what I want to eat for breakfast and plan ahead on the weekends. And if possible, even make it ahead so that it is grab and go
right there,
which is really
and
what
that's, yeah. And that's the small step. And so, like I said, like, I don't think it's realistic to go from, you know, you can't start meal planning and all of a sudden make all these meals all at once. You'll be overwhelmed. You'll hit a roadblock and you'll just, it's not working. But if we break it down into small chunks and we find small successes, then you're more motivated to be like, oh wow, in a couple of weeks, I got this breakfast thing down. I've got, you know, 4, 5, 6 different things that we can make, we can grab and go. And then that's great. And then you work on, okay, what can we do for lunch? You know, maybe what we can work for dinner that can be saved for lunch the next day. So, you know, I'm not into making, I'm not into making three, I'm not, you know, making from scratch 3 meals 7 days a week.
So where do you get your inspiration? I know that you come up with your own recipes or you take existing recipes and modify them, but like, where, what are your, and we can link to all this in my newsletter as well as in the meta of the podcast. So you don't have to list them all out right now, but I'm assuming you like to go, do you, once you and your husband sort of have a plan, do you go to the internet and figure out what sort of those meals, do you already have meals that are sort of your go-tos? How?
You know, we always just look, when we're reading, there's always reading articles. We subscribe to the New York Times cooking section and they always have things, and you can, you know, sometimes they're a little bit elaborate and then you can kind of simplify them to make them more simple. Food Network magazine is another one that's great to start out with. They even have a section of their magazine which says, you know, weeknight cooking, and then they have weekend cooking, so they know if a meal takes a little bit longer, but you know, here are meals that are gonna only take you 30 minutes to cook, and they are relatively simple with ingredients that are not obscure that you would most likely already have maybe in your kitchen, can order quickly. The kitchen has a lot of great ideas. I'm a big fan of Sarah Carey, just love her, with the Martha Stewart company. That's probably where I started most of it, because she would have videos and I would just watch the video, learn the simplicity of things, because it was overwhelming to me. How am I going to cook this? I don't know how to really cook. I'm not sure I know how to do this, but she would literally, you could watch in a video and just see how simple it was. And when you actually saw it, then all those fears kind of melted away and you got the courage to try. Because I think
that's how you made the shift from baking to cooking then.
Yeah, I was willing to bake anything. I didn't need to watch a video to bake. I had all the courage in the world to bake. But I thought that cooking was different, because with baking, you know, if you have the sugar and the flour and the butter, you just, like, you know, there's no other ingredient that's going to make it any better. But it does have different flavors and textures and things like that. And that did scare me. It's like, how do you figure it all out? And you don't need to be a scientist or a chef that's gone to culinary school. Starting out with what you like and, you know, just taking little chunks little by little. I know when I was getting my health coach certification, I was doing it a lot at night, and my husband's like, okay, I'll help pick up some of the, you know, the dinner, you know, the tasks of making dinner. And he was overwhelmed at last, and he would call me, where's this? How do I get that? What do it says mince. I don't know what a mince means. I said, just do the best you can, or watch this video and you can see what a mince is like. I said, whatever you do is great, you know. And every night, just coming home and then saying, thank you for making dinner. This is awesome. And then he would then say, oh, I think next time I should, you know, try this spice or try that spice. And I was like, yeah, you know, cause it is, it's not a science, it's an art. And it is whatever you want it to be. It doesn't have to look like the picture in the magazine. It doesn't have to come out perfect. But
so many things you said there that I just want to unpack. The first thing is the fact that you, I'm going to call him Sean because he's my uncle and my aunt. And I'm going to call
Sean
because that's what I know. So you and Uncle Sean actually do this together, which I think is so important, because I feel like a lot of the times as moms, I'm sure you can attest to this in the early days of parenting, it feels very lonely. Like, we have to do it all. And we put that on ourselves, and I'm taking full responsibility for my own in this. I certainly do it. But we do.
I did it.
Like, this is my job as the mom to provide for my family, and I have to do it all. From the figuring out what to make, to the going out and getting all of the food, to prepping it, to cooking it, and to delivering it. Like, that's all on me. And it sounds like it doesn't have to be.
No, it doesn't at all. And from what I found, because I remember I used to go to the shopping, and I never really liked shopping that much. To make it a little bit more fun, or just to, I would, you know, hey, Sean, you want to come with me? And he loves shopping. I found out he loves shopping. And I was like, have at it, buddy. Whereas before, I would tell them that he couldn't do it because he didn't know how. And, you know, I kind of had to let go and say, you do the best you can. And if, you know, nobody likes to go shopping, we have technology here. We have Instacart. We have our lovely friends, Amazon. We have so many different options than to bring the food to us. So there's always a solution. If we think that we're stuck and say, I can't do this, I can't cook because of, you know, getting the groceries into the house is a hurdle, or I can't cook because I don't know what to cook. All those hurdles can be broken down into finding out exactly what they are and then working to find a solution for those. And then once we kind of break down those roadblocks, then all the possibilities are open. To go back on that too, I think Sean used to come into the kitchen and say, how can I help? And I always used to say, can you unload the dishwasher? Or, can you set the table? Can you do this? And I never gave him a task to say, hey, can you chop that while I'm over here doing this? But it is nice. And then it became like a really nice ritual that we would both kind of unwind. And he liked to unwind cooking just as much as I did. So I find it kind of methodical to just go and have, you know, put some music on and have the simplicity of just being in the kitchen and the sounds and stuff, really the smells of the onions or whatever you're cooking. I like that because it helps me calm down and helps me transition from working to being at home. And, you know, now that he's come in, we can both do it together, and just makes the, what's the adage, many hands make light work. And I was like, this is easy now. This is so much easier because I've invited someone in, you know, to help. And it doesn't have to be your husband. It can be a child. It can be anybody.
My cousin makes a killer latte after inviting her in and showing her how to do that. So I'm appreciative of that. And the other thing you said that I thought was so insightful is that what this sounds like in listening to you talk about food versus me is that it's not part of your schedule. Like for me, I have to eat, you know, when I get out the door, and I have to eat around 11 again, and then I have a snack in the afternoon. And so I sort of have this timetable of when these things are going to happen, and then I sort of just fill them as they happen. And then I don't think about it ever again between those sort of timetables. But what it sounds like for you, and what's, I think, the mental shift that we all can sort of make, is how does this just become part of our everyday in a really fluid way? So talking and figuring out what newsletters and podcasts and blog posts we really love, whether it's New York Times or whether it's actually something specifically to food, like the Food Network, and weaving that into our everyday where we get a recipe here and we get to see how somebody does this cooking video over here. And it's not, I'm going to sit down at this time to go do this thing. It's this thing that enters our lives throughout our day, opposed to setting time aside to make this thing happen. I also thought it was just a very different shift between the two of us.
It is interesting, but it's also, I think a lot of it is because it's something that I have learned to like to do. Like I said in the beginning, I was afraid to cook. I didn't know how to cook. Long story short, I grew up in a house where everything was like processed. We had frozen dinners, and the meal that was made every week was shake and bake chicken and rice-a-roni. And it wasn't until I met Sean and your mom where we would go over for Sunday dinner, and I had this like gorgeous fresh beef stew and a salad or something, you know, a pork roast or a pot roast made. And I was like, what is this? How did you make this? And I remember your mom just like kind of chuckling at me. I'm like, I don't know how to do this. And she, because it was natural, it's what she grew up with. And she even wrote me, my very first cookbook was written by your mom, that was a blank notebook, and it said Dare to Begin. And she had some, you know, family favorite recipes in there. But it is, it's natural. And some people, like I like to cook and I wanted to cook. And so that was groomed over the years, you know, to the passion that I have with it now. And for you, it's not a passion that you have right now, or it's something that you don't enjoy. You can kind of hopefully get to a place where it's enjoyable, or if it maybe not ever enjoyable, but break it down so it's simpler, then you can start to enjoy it. Because it sounds to me like you don't mind cooking, but it's all the other things involved in the cooking. And that's when you need to take a step back, because someone, you know, you started the conversation saying, I hate meals are just a chore for me. But then as we have this conversation, we're learning that it's not necessarily the cooking. And it's not necessarily the eating tasty foods, but it could be the shopping and the planning. So now,
wrapping, yeah,
it's like, wow, oh, I don't hate that. I just don't love this. You know, how can we make this simpler, this easier? And then everything is then, you know, it's not so bad anymore, the issue, or the, you know, that's just the one roadblock that's making everything else a little bit more painful.
It's so true, because I grew up and you mentioned it, like I grew up in a very different situation than you did. All my food was cooked every night. in our kitchen from scratch. I sat at the kitchen table doing my homework while dinner was being made. And that was a huge part of my growing up. Like, the center of my house was not the living room. It was the kitchen. And it was my mom and dad cooking. And that was like how my evening would start out. And so I always envisioned that for my kids. And it is, my day essentially works. I do love the actual cooking part. I don't mind standing in the kitchen. I don't mind doing the actual cutting and the prep and then pulling everything together. I'm actually okay at that. And I love putting music on. And, you know, living in your house for 6 months, I always said I wanted to be Trish when I grew up, where not only did I get into marketing, but I wanted to have this, I wanted to create that for my kids, where they would come home and they would see me in the kitchen and they'd want to come be part of that with music going and them doing their homework, me cooking. Like, I envision that being where this goes. You're right. It's everything leading up into that. Like, it's getting over that roadblock of figuring out what to make, I think, is my biggest hurdle. And is everybody going to like it? And then having to go get the food and doing all the shopping for it. And then being able to actually begin the fun part.
Well, and if they don't like it, we can teach them to be polite about it. And life is different. Sometimes, you know, ideally you want everyone kind of, you know, to have those smells, and that's a part of your life that you really reminisce. And there's going to be ebbs and flows in your life where maybe everyone sitting down and having toast and Marmite is a dinner, and that is a dinner, and that's okay for that point at that point, you know, but what you want to do is just get back to the times when you can fuel. And it doesn't have to be perfect. We always talk about, or I always talk with my clients, it's progress over perfection. You don't have to cook a perfect meal every night. Sometimes it will be toast and Marmite, but that is still your best effort to fuel them and to work through it. So, you know, again, we can't make these grandiose plans of having a gourmet meal every night. Working together to try to, you know, do the best we can at that point with what we're given is ultimately the goal.
And one day at a time.
Exactly. Right. You stepped into my house at a specific window when things were going well. And my kids were a little older and I had it all going on. I don't think they were three when you lived there. So, you know, I had a little bit more practice. And so you can't look at someone else's window, like any, that time in their life, and be like, why can't I do that? Well, you know, that situation was probably very different than the one you might be in now. And so you have to do the best that you can for you. And that's, again, dropping the stigma that it has to be perfect, dropping what the neighbor does, dropping what someone else does, and just do what you can do for.
And now you're just toting the Mama Finds tagline of you do you. And it's so true. I do go back to those days. And I also keep in mind that when I moved in, your youngest was three, who is now 15. So, you know, put that in perspective.
No time goes by. I'm still 29. I don't know what you're talking about.
And it is a different mindset. Like, when you're a first time mom and you have kids and you don't know what to do or what to expect. And by the time you have your third, it's totally different. I remember you saying, and I think about this all the time, especially when my kids are having a meltdown. They're just tired. Like, I'll never forget it. Your middle child was having a complete meltdown over something. It was right before bedtime. And you took a deep breath. And you're like, she's just tired. It's like, you know what? Yes. Sometimes it is just those moments of, you know, trying to remain calm and thinking about where they are. And it's not the end of the world.
Yeah. And it's true. And I think I was listening to one of your past podcasts, and that was the advice that you had given. It's like, you know, your kids feed off of you. And so at that moment, maybe when Abigail was having a conniption, I could have gotten all, you know, anxious and worked up over it, but just taking that deep breath and going, okay, well, if I act tired, maybe she'll come, you know, if I'm calm, maybe then she'll turn calm too. And that's, you know, that's true. And we have to keep reminding ourselves to be kind to ourselves. And that's a lot of what I do with my clients. It's whether it's a health issue or just even a life issue. It's kind of just resetting and reframing a lot of things, because we generally think, the statistic is that we have 60,000 thoughts in our head on a daily basis. And we are the person that we talk to the most. We talk to ourselves. And sometimes we say things to ourselves that we would never say to someone else. We have to be kind to ourselves. And so, no matter what roadblock you're kind of trying to uncover and working through, and managing our mind to think a different way. We need to do it kindly and gently to ourselves.
It is true. We are worst critics. We are. And as moms, we have to, to your point earlier, of not look at how other moms are doing things necessarily. I think we could all learn from each other.
Exactly. You seem to do that well. What can I learn from you? And, you know, you seem to do that well, and I seem to do this well. So what can we all get from each other? Because it's not a competition, but we want everyone to succeed and we want to raise everybody up.
Exactly. It's not a competition. And I think that a lot of like mom guilt and pressure that we feel from other moms isn't those moms judging us. It's us judging ourselves for not being like them.
Exactly. It's exactly. I mean, if we could like all be in a play group together and actually like have bubbles over our heads as to what we're actually saying, and we could see what the other moms are saying about us, because they're not saying what we think they're saying about us. They're probably saying, well, look how calm she is with her kids. And I'm like saying the same thing to her and, you know, just criticizing myself. And it's just not true.
Well, Trish, thank you so much for joining me and helping me start to make the shift to healthier habits where I can hopefully get more energy back, because I am just so tired all the time, and to change my relationship with food. I really want to take better care of myself, and this was a great first step. So thank you so much for your wise wisdom.
Oh, you're very welcome. It's always fun. It's fun to help people. You know, that's my main goal. It is, and if health and well-being is the outcome, that's awesome. You know, I would love in a perfect world for everyone to stay out of the healthcare system and not have to go to a doctor for ailments and things. And if eating healthy foods and fueling our body wisely and in the best way possible can give us that energy to stay healthy and stay active, and, you know, that's a win-win for everybody.
Totally agree. Well said. Well, thank you again, Trish. And I will get this up and share it with the world. I'm so excited. Thank you again.
You're welcome.
Okay, so I took Trish's advice, and for 3 days last week, I swapped out energy bars for egg bites. I did buy them from Starbucks, but I figured it was better than the energy bar. Baby steps. I've been traveling this past week, but starting on Sunday, I'm going to sit down, make a meal plan for my weekly breakfasts and lunches, and see how it goes. I will say, I did feel a little more energized. It's hard to tell from such a blip, but it's a start. I will give this a true go when I get home and write up a follow-up post. Hold me to it. If you would like to get more energy back, then go to corehealthcoach.com and either request a discovery call with Trish herself or take your own baby steps and download the ebook, 3 Easy Ways to Double Your Energy, right now. Thank you for listening, and you just keep doing you, one meal at a time.